introduction. An introduction. Let me read the first four verses and then come back and give you an introduction. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Well, we see right at the outset that this is written by Luke the physician. He's called Luke, Paul called him Luke the beloved physician. And he traveled with Paul. He's the one who wrote the book of Acts, and he's also the one who wrote the book of Luke. And when he started out the book of Luke, he used the same thing. He said, "O most excellent Theophilus, having had perfect understanding of all things from the beginning," and he began to preach and he began to tell him, said, "I'm going to tell you the things most surely believed among us." So the author of this is Luke. And you know, here's what it is the history of the apostles up after the Lord's ascension. And you see the titles there also, the Acts of the Apostles, the actions, the things that they did. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. But it also could be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Ghost is mentioned over 50 times in this chapter. I mean, in this book, over 50 times the Holy Ghost is mentioned. So it could be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because he comes as a rushing mighty wind. He just told them to wait until the Holy Ghost comes upon them. Wait until the promise of the Spirit comes. And it also could be called the Acts of our ascended Lord, because Christ ascended back to glory, and he told his disciples what he purposed for them to do, and that he would be with them. And so in the history, what we have in the book of Acts is the history of preaching. The history of preaching. I heard Rolf Barnard say one time, if you want to find out what your message is, read what the preachers in the book of Acts preached, and you'll find your message. And the message is clear, plain. And it's the history of the spreading of the gospel into all the world. It started right here. He said, you go start in Jerusalem. You're going to Judea. You're going to go to Samaria. And then you're going to go into the uttermost parts of the earth. And the gospel started spreading right here in the book of Acts. And then you got the establishing of the gospel. The gospel's declared plainly. And then you have these local assemblies being established. You have Galatians. Paul went to Galatia. Went to Antioch. Colossae. Philippi. Thessalonica. Went to all these places, and all these local, Corinth, and all these local churches sprung up through this. That's where local churches began to be established at, was as these preachers went around and preached. And you know, I read to you the other day where Paul said, told him and Barnabas, let's go back and see where all we've been and see how the brethren are doing, how the churches are. We wanted to go back and see how they were doing. And it's also, here in the book of Acts, it's the history of the early church. Early church. Just a handful here and a handful of there. They met in houses, lots of houses. They met in Gaius' house, Stephanus' house. They had lots of, they met in Onesimus' house. So they had a lot of churches, and they started out meeting in people's homes. And so it's the history of the early church and God using men to be his witnesses in this world. And that's what he said, you go into the world and be my witnesses. My witness. What are you going to witness to, Lord? What are we going to tell them about? You're going to witness me. You're going to tell them about me. You're going to tell them about me. Ain't that what it says in the first verse? The former treatise of I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. That's the first thing you got to deal with. First thing. And there's two preachers that are real prominent, two apostles real prominent all the way through the book of Acts. Peter, the apostle Peter, and the apostle Paul. And Peter, they're the two prominent ones. And of course, John is mentioned some, not much. And Peter and Paul. Peter began to preach. And he was the first preacher you find in the book of Acts. The very first preacher, the first message preached after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. After he went to glory, Peter was the first man to preach after Christ ascended to glory. And then the apostle Paul, and their work and their message is given a detailed account of what they say and what they do and how they act and why they deal with certain situations. You got a detailed account of what they said, how they were dealt with, how they reacted to how they were dealt with. Details. And their words were given. And then you remember, well, of course, you don't remember. But anyway, they had to call seven deacons because the apostles were too busy preaching and praying and preaching the word that somebody had to take care of the widows. Somebody had to take care of the churches. Somebody had to take care of the people that didn't have anything. So they appointed seven deacons. Seven men full of the Holy Ghost and faith is what they said. Well, there was two deacons became real, real prominent in the book of Acts. The first one was Stephen. He preached the whole Acts of chapter 7 is Stephen preaching. And then he was slain. And then the second deacon, everybody knows about him, is Philip. Philip. He was the one who went and joined himself to the Ethiopian eunuch as he was going home from Jerusalem worshiping. So you got this going on. And also in Acts, we see how quickly the gospel spread. It started out, I think it's down here in verse 15. Look down here in verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and the number of the names together were about 120. So it started out with 120 people. And they was in a big, large upper room. 120 disciples in there. John was there, James was there, Peter was there. All these people are there. Our Lord had just ascended, and our Lord, at the end of his ministry, had 120 people. 120 people. Which, that'd be a lot now, wouldn't it? That'd be quite a bit. That'd be quite a few. I'd settle for 50 or 60. Half that. But anyway, he got up and preached in Acts chapter 2. And I'll show you how quickly the gospel spread. 3,000 souls were converted by the first message that was preached. Went from 120 to 3,000 in one message. That's a pretty good jump, ain't it? Oh my. He began to preach and 3,000 people. 3,000 people. If the Bible didn't say it, we couldn't hardly believe it. 3,000 people converted under one message. One preacher preaching. And it was a very, very strange thing. And you look at the early church and you look at these 12 apostles and these 12 disciples gathered together. And you know, you look at them, humanly speaking, just look at these 120 people. Christ is gone. He's going back to heaven. And humanly speaking, it had nothing going for it. Absolutely nothing. It had no money. They didn't have no money. When Peter went to that poor man jumped up and asked him for silver and gold. He said, Peter said, I ain't got neither one of them. I ain't got no silver and I ain't got no gold. I ain't give you no money whatsoever. So here are these fellas, they ain't got no money. Humanly speaking, how are they going to make it? Huh? They had nothing going for them. Who's the leader? Who's the leader of this bunch? Who's leading this unto it? Who's leading these people? There ain't no great leader stood up yet. And all for it to exist, it had great enemies. Oh, how enemies. The Pharisees, the Jews, the Romans. Oh, how they hated this bunch. They had great, great enemies. The Roman Empire was their enemy. All the Pharisees and the Jews were their enemy. It was new. It was something new. It was something that was happening. Was you going to sing another song? I'm sorry. I wonder why you kept sitting there. Well, I tell you what, I got excited. It's my time to sing. I sung that song Sunday morning. It's my time. Oh, but anyway, I didn't even think about it until I seen you get up and go. I read scriptures. But anyway, they had great, great enemies. And it was something that was new. This is a new group. This is a new message. This is a new church. This is something that, and then Christ is not there with them now. And the truths that were being taught, the world looked at them and said, that's incredible. Who can believe that? Who can believe that? How many times did they say that? Who can believe what you're preaching? You're preaching that the just one was crucified and we're guilty of crucifying him. You're preaching that we, by our wicked hands, done something to this man, and you say that he is raised from the dead, and you say you saw him for 40 days and 40 nights, and you say that he's the only one who knows anything about God and was God, and here you are telling us to believe that? They just couldn't believe it. It was incredible to the world, and it still is. It still is. I said to somebody the other day, I was telling my son Doogie about it today. I mentioned to somebody I was praying for him. And you know what he said? He said, they ain't doing no good. That's what he said, they ain't doing no good. In other words, he wants God to jump too. If you're praying for me, God ought to do something for me. God ought to jump up. God ought to be here doing something for me. Oh, the truths that were being taught was incredible to the world. And I'll tell you what, you remember yourself. You can remember when the truth was made alive to you. The truth of who Jesus Christ is. The truth of what Jesus Christ our Lord did. The truth of what our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished and who he is and what he did. And all that he did, and his everything about him, and all of his power, and all of his glory. And when we heard about, learned the truth of election, learned the truth of God's sovereignty, learned the truth that everything's purposed by God. God, your hand has stretched forth this to do. And we found out that God rules and reigns in this universe. These blessed truths come to us. And they come to us and they set us free and bring great works in our hearts and in our soul. And that's what these men start out. They start out preaching the truth. And the world says, oh my goodness, who can believe that? Who can believe that? And they were hated. They were hated and they were persecuted. And the more they were hated and the more they were persecuted, you know what happened? The more they flourished and the more they grew. First time you have 3,000. Second time, 5,000. And you know our Lord fed 4,000 plus men and children and women. And then, men and women. And then another place he fed 5,000. These how many got converted. And all churches were established. The Corinthian church was. Colossae was. Ephesus was. Galatians was. Philippi, the Thessalonians, all these churches were established, used of God. And oh my, God used these men that He called and to preach and labor in the gospel of Christ. That's all they did. And I tell you what, they'd even go into a marketplace. They'd go in where people bought and sold goods and stuff like that, and they'd sit down and start talking to people and talking to people. The next thing you know, a crowd gather around and they'd preach the gospel to them. That's the way it's done. That's the way Walter Gruber did when he first went to Mexico. He'd go out in them pueblos and he'd take a film with him and he'd set up a projector out there and he'd put up a film and all these people gather around there and then he'd cut the film down and then he'd start preaching to them. And you know, 20-something churches was established. It's got good, solid preachers. It's been pastoring now for 25, 23, 25, 26, 27 years. Through a man starting out just like that, going into Pueblo, and people gather around him. And that's what these fellas did. They used whatever means that they had. You know, when that lame man was sitting at the gate beautiful, Peter just said, "Get up and walk." And do you believe what a crowd gathered around after that? Just two preachers standing there talking to him. Next thing you know, a multitude's gathered around hearing the gospel. Oh, they preached and labored in the gospel of Christ. And here's another thing about the book of Acts. Every main character in the book of Acts had been alive during the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even Paul had been alive during the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every main character in the book of Acts had been living during the lifetime of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 28 chapters, there's 19 sermons. The first by Peter on the day of Pentecost. Many, many by the Apostle Paul. The longest message was by Stephen, and they ended up killing him at the end of it. And this book is full of some of the most blessed teaching we'll ever be confronted with. Glorious teaching. Blessed teaching. And now let me tell you some things that's not in this book. Tell you some things that's not in this book. The love of God's not mentioned in this book. God's love. God loves you is not in this book. The love of God's not mentioned in 28 chapters. Not one of them preachers got up and told that congregation how much God loved them. How much God wanted to save them. Never, not one of them got up and told them that. Not one of them. The word love is not mentioned in the book of Acts. Not once. And I'll tell you something else not mentioned in there. Will you accept Jesus? When they got through preaching, you reckon they said, "Well, listen, we'd sure love to you accept Jesus here now if you would." That's not in there. Oh. And another thing, the only place you find an altar is a heathen altar. No altars for people to get on and pray before. And you don't find any of these preachers inviting people to Christ, inviting people to church, inviting people. No, they just stood up and preached. None of those things are in the book of Acts. The message we find in this blessed book of Acts is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who He is. And if you don't know who He is, and that's what they start. They start out first and foremost with who Jesus Christ is. Then they start going to what He did. His obedient, blessed, glorious, sinless life. What He accomplished by His life. What He accomplished by His death. And they preached every time they entered a message. There He is right up there. And You got to face him. You got to face him. You got to face him. And I tell you, that was their message, and we'll see that so clearly through the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is a bridge. You take the Gospels. You take the four Gospels. And the book of Acts is a bridge between the Gospels and our Lord Jesus Christ to going back to glory. You know, here you close up John's Gospel. Close up Matthew's Gospel, Mark's Gospel, Luke's Gospel, and you find Christ being buried, but you don't see him ascending. Here you see him coming from all the Gospels, and here you see him, the book of Acts, he's going back to glory, and everybody gets to see him go up. He ascends back to glory. Huh? And all you get here in the book of Acts, we hear his final words that he gives his people on this earth. The last words he says to them on this earth. The last words he says to his people on this earth. The last words. Last words mean a lot. You know that? Last words mean a lot. Final words. And then his commission, what he told them to do. Now you're my servants. You're my preachers. I've chosen you. I've called you. Now you go. You go. And you go be preachers. And now look what he said here. Look what he said in verse 1. This is the only verse I'm going to deal with tonight. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach. Now when you go to the book of Luke, and you'll find what Luke is talking about. And when he says here, I began to tell what Jesus both began to do and teach. He's going back to his gospel. He's going back to say what he taught about Christ in his gospel. He's telling about the gospel that he wrote, the gospel of Luke. And first he began to tell us what Jesus began to do. And what did he do? But you know where he started out with the Lord Jesus Christ? He started out with his birth. Started out with his birth. He started out that this day in the city of David is born unto us a Savior, Christ the Lord. And he's begotten of the Holy God himself. He starts out with Christ being born and being the Son of God. And oh, then he gets up and he's 12 years old and he goes out to what he done. What else did he do? Well, he left his mother and daddy left him. And 3 days later, they went back and he's sitting in the temple, 12 years old, confounding the people that think they know something. 12 years old, make them look like a bunch of fools. And then he began to talk about what Christ went through in his temptation in the wilderness. So he began to tell what Jesus began to do, who he is and what he began to do. He said, well, he went off into the temptation in the wilderness. Then he goes on and tells about how he went to his hometown. Went to Nazareth. Got up, started his public ministry, reading out of the book of Isaiah. And oh my, how he goes to his hometown, start his ministry. And they run him out of town. They hate him and despised him and run him out of his own town. Run him out of his own hometown. Then he said not only what Jesus began to do, but what he began to teach. Now, let me show you something over here in Luke chapter 4. Look in Luke chapter 4, verse 31, I believe it is. Luke 4:31. What it says here. This is, you know, that chapter 4 is him being in the wilderness and where he went to into his hometown to preach, and they run him out of town. And then look what he said here at verse 31. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Listen to this. And they were astonished at his doctrine. That word doctrine just means teaching. For his word was with power. Could you imagine the power that come from our Lord Jesus Christ? His doctrine was with power and was with wisdom. And you take our Lord Jesus Christ and all the things that he began to teach in the book of Luke. And that's what he said in the former treatise. Former treatise. What Jesus began to do and to teach. He talked about what he did. And then he began to talk about what he taught. And our Lord Jesus Christ, after he taught them, he started with the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's got 3 verses dedicated to it. Luke has 1 verse, one chapter dedicated to it. Matthew has 3 chapters. And what he says, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. Who are the blessed? The ones that he says blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that weep. Blessed are they that hunger. And then he turned around and said, but woe unto them. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. And how many times did our Lord say, this is what he began to teach. This is the teachings of our Lord. You've heard it said. You've heard what the Pharisees said. You heard what the doctor said. You heard what the lawyer said. But he said, I'm telling you what. I'm going to tell you what I say about it. What I say about it. And let me tell you this. I listened to myself the other day, and I don't know how many times I said that. Let me tell you this. Well, I'm up here to tell you something. But I'll tell you this. Christianity cannot exist without the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life cannot exist without Christ. This church can't exist without Christ. And here's the thing about it. Buddhism, it can exist without Buddha. Buddhism continues, and they've got Buddhist temples and Buddhist statues all going most Chinese restaurants, and they got a Buddha sitting there somewhere. And when I was in Vietnam, Buddha pagodas was everywhere. Little fat fellow with his legs crossed and his arms crossed. And listen, people, they can have Buddhism without having Buddha. Because he laid down some rules. He laid down some principles. He said, and if you follow my principles and follow my teaching, you'll end up being enlightened. And you'll know what it means to have one hand clapping. That's the stuff that they come up with. Foolishness. And then, you know, there's the Muslims. Muslim and Mohammedism, it continues without Mohammed. Mohammed died 600 years after Christ. But Muslims, they continue on and on and on and on. But our Lord Jesus Christ died. He was raised from the dead. He ascended to the right hand of God. And we have no reason, existence, and no life for Christianity unless we have Christ. Huh? Oh. But you take Christ away. Oh, you know, all these other things are works and morality and ethics and philosophy. But you take Christ away. And you take it away. And people do this. People do this. They take Christ away and they reduce Christianity down to a bunch of ethics and philosophy. They say, if we'll just pay attention to his ideas, pay attention to his teachings, and then we put them into practice, we'd be a wonderful bunch of people. The world would be so much better off if we followed his example, took his ideas. We don't need him for salvation. We don't need him for forgiveness. We don't need him to be our Savior. We don't need redeeming. We just need to know how to live, and if we'll follow his teachings and his ideas, we'll be really good people. Really good people. Oh my. But I tell you, it doesn't make any difference if he really was who he said he was. You can't have Christianity unless you have Christ. Our life, our existence as Christians, and I say that in the strictest sense. Strictest sense. As Christians. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Or as believers. Our life, our existence as Christians and as believers are utterly and absolutely dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and what He did and where He is right now. Without Him, we have nothing to believe. If without Christ, what are we going to believe? Without Christ, what do we do? Without Christ, what's the purpose? Without Christ, what is life? Oh my. But oh, I tell you, without Him, you got nothing but ethics. You got nothing but an idealism. You got nothing but philosophy. They say, oh, we need to follow the golden rule. But I tell you, our Lord Jesus not only taught about God, but He was revealing God in His character and in His nature. If you've seen God, you've seen Christ. If you found out what God's character was, you had to see Christ. If you found out what God's nature is, you have to see Christ. Because He came to reveal those things. How do we know? How did they know who God the Father was? Christ told them. How do you know what God intended for us? God, Christ told us. Huh? And I was reading today and been reading about back in the 1850s, 1860s, a bunch of German theologians. And they've done this for 100 years. They tried to find the historical Jesus. The historical Jesus. What He was really like as a historical person. They wasn't interested in believing in Him. They wasn't interested in His salvation. Wasn't interested in His blood. Wasn't interested in Him being God. They just wanted to know what He was as a historical figure. And this is what they come up with. If the person who was going through this is, they got a documentary on this, searching for the historical Jesus. You need to look at that one of these times. But anyways, those who were looking for the historical Jesus always found Him like they were. Now what do I mean by that? If that theologian was a socialist, he came up with the historical Jesus who was a socialist. He's going to do everything for everybody. Then if you got another one, he was a moralist. He believed you have to live an extremely moral, upright life. Then you got Jesus as a great moral leader and a moral teacher. So whatever the person's philosophy was, that's the Jesus they came up with. They didn't care anything about faith. They said, we're not looking for the Jesus of faith. We're looking for the historical one. And He was a fact of history. He's a fact of history. But I don't care about His history. I care about what He did while He is here. I care about a Redeemer, a Savior, a living Lord, a man who was God, a man who put away sin, a man who sits at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. That's who I want to know. And one of these days, bless His holy name, them folks have been looking for Him and trying to figure out what He's like. One of these days, we know who He is, we know what He's like, and we'll see Him face to face one of these blessed days. Huh? But oh my. Well, look what else He said here, and then I'm done. He says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. But what Luke is doing, he wrote about a living, living Lord, a Christ who was alive, and he viewed Him as a living Lord, and he viewed Him as a dying Lord, and he viewed Him as a resurrected Lord, and then here you see Him viewing Him as an ascended Lord. he concludes that he is sitting at the right hand of God with all power and glory. This is what they preached, and this is what men believed, and this is what God uses to save men. And God saves a multitude through this. In one place it says, as many as were ordained to eternal life, what did they do? They believed. But they had to be told what to believe. Somebody got to tell them. That's what the Acts of the Apostles are about. I hope that's a blessing. We'll start next week. Our Father, in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus, we bow our hearts before you. Thank you for allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank you for your blessed gospel. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Oh Lord, this Bible is so big, so deep. Got so much in it, so many words. And Lord, it's impossible for us to deal with it without you, without the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Spirit. Impossible to teach from it, impossible to understand it. And Lord, we want to understand it. We want to learn from it. We want to know what you have to say to us. And so, Lord, we're going to sit and wait on you. Pray that you would teach us and instruct us. Let us sit at your feet and let us learn. Oh, God, we need you. And we bless you and we praise you. And keep these dear people of God. See them safely home. Meet all the needs of their homes and their hearts. And, Father, we pray for those who are not with us who would be if they could. But they're providentially hindered. God bless them. Thank you for they watch and they listen. Meet their needs too. We ask in Christ our Lord's name. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Good night. God bless you. I'll see you Sunday, Lord willing, going up to...